Thanks so much for tuning into this podcast, produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas. For more information on KUT programs and to support the station, go to KUT.org. And thanks again.
Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory isn't amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing
so smart
most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. We all distinguish between times when we may feel guilty or times when we may feel shame. And does it matter? I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, shame and guilt.
The research studies suggest that guilt and shame differ in the target of the feeling. So you interpret guilt as saying, I feel bad about this thing I did. And you feel shame when, having done something bad and feeling bad about it, you now feel bad about yourself as an individual. And that's really the crux of the distinction.
Exactly. And of course, the former of those two interpretations allows you to do something about it.
Right.
If some action or series of actions, or actually failing to act, we should say that too.
No.
I mean, guilt isn't only about acting. It's failing to act when you know you should.
Right.
The physiological responses of both of those emotions are probably close to identical. What differentiates how we interpret them has to do with cognition and not the physiology. Those things that may be defined as guilt in the psychology literature are things that give you a sense of recourse, that you can actually do something about it to atone, to rectify, to apologize, to make right whatever, you know, wrong you've done. But with shame, that's a very different situation, right? Because it's about you. And so the response to the shame part is a totally different set of options.
Yeah. And one of the options, of course, is just to feel terrible about yourself. And so shame is one of those things that can cause a lot of stress. It can cause people to hurt themselves. But the other response to shame is to try and minimize the badness of the action. And the way that you often do that is by what's called externalizing that, which is to say, I did this thing not because of who I am. I did this thing because the situation made me do it. There was something in the world that forced me to do this.
I mean, if you feel like the situation is controlling you, well, then there's very little incentive to actually take action, because they go, what can I do? The situation is what it is. How can I do that? You know, I don't have any money. I need money. There's a car right there with the keys in it. Why wouldn't I take the car?
Yeah. And there was a study that came out not long ago that I really like that actually looked at this in prisoners. And so they took these prisoners while they were still in prison, and they gave them a series of questions about whether they tend to feel guilt and whether they feel guilt about the action that they performed, or shame, and also how much they were externalizing. That is, how much were they blaming the source of this crime that they had committed on factors that were outside of themselves.
Yeah.
And then they followed up with them a year after they got out of prison, and both through self-report and through looking at arrest records, they were asking the question, how likely were the people who'd gotten out of prison to commit other crimes, either things for which they had subsequently been arrested or else things that they were self-reporting as having engaged in without having been arrested for them yet? And the people who feel guilt were far less likely to commit a crime again, the more guilt that they felt. The more shame that people felt, though, it was a kind of a mixed thing, where if the shame caused you to do this externalization, then you are actually more likely to commit a crime again later, because you didn't see that there was anything about yourself that needed to change. And consequently, you didn't really focus on changing your actions. And so you went right back out and did the same things again.
Yeah, or led me to it in some
right.
setup, right? And you know, one thing I think is probably good to talk about too is children and how this all functions in children. Because certainly when our own children do things that are unkind or selfish or whatever, that we certainly don't want to become a part of their repertoire, we want them to feel bad about it, right? But we also want them to feel like there's something that they can do to make the situation better, right? So it's not just a matter of you did this thing and you should feel bad, the end. You did this thing, you should feel bad. Now let's go over and talk to this person and apologize, and you'll feel better about that, because you've taken some affirmative step to make the situation better. And you know, there's a lot of positives in that for children, because it creates a situation where a child feels like, I can do something about this. You know, I feel bad, but there's a constructive thing that I can do to make the situation better. That's a very powerful thing for a child to learn.
Yeah. And I think that another powerful element of shame and guilt is that they feel bad.
Right.
They are painful. And they are social. Mm-hmm. There is a social component to it. And so this is one of the reasons why, if you're feeling the urge to do something bad or wrong that you know is wrong, it's not a bad idea to get out amongst some people, because it's much easier to convince yourself all by yourself, all alone, to do the wrong thing. It's much harder to go ahead and do that in front of the full glory of society.
And that cuts both ways, right? Because also you find yourself in circumstances with other people who make it easy for you right. to make choices that in a clearer moment you would think that's probably not a good thing to do. So, you know, I'm on a raising children kick today. But I think coming back to that same idea about how much our social group, whether it's officially a religious institution or not, but how much our social group influences not only how we behave, but how we feel about how we behave, right? You know, you can understand that being in a circumstance where you feel bad because you've done something that you wish you hadn't done, or you failed to act when you knew you should have acted. When you're in a situation when you're surrounded by people who are making you feel quite okay about that action, your guilt will diminish over time.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? I think one of the things that, you know, having caring and attentive parents, or having close friends who share your value system, or being a part of some larger institution, whether it's a religious group or not, I mean, all of those things, if they're set up effectively in our value system, then help reinforce the things that we'd like to see in ourselves, yeah. right? And if they're not, well, then they actually, you know, work against the very goals that we have for ourselves and our own behavior.
We'll be expanding this discussion on shame and guilt when Views and Brews hosts Two Guys on Your Head live this fall. Follow us on Twitter at @GOYH for details. Next week, we'll look at belief systems and the persistence of false beliefs with Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke. You can find this and all of our shows at KUT.org and on iTunes. We'd also love to know what you think of the show and find out what you're curious about. Email us anytime at twoguys@KUT.org. Two Guys on Your Head is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas, and supported by OBGYN North and Natural Beginning Birth Center. For KUT, I'm Rebecca McEnroy.